Friday, December 12th, and here we go. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. Thank you so much for being here. Hit like and subscribe if you would, please. That way you officially join the family, officially become a part of this. And it is an awesome community of people that we got chatting and hanging out every day around this time. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, we say thank you so much to the sponsors that make it all happen. Starting with my guy right here, Ike Sandwiches, a delicious sandwich just waiting for you. And I'm going to tell you, since it is the holiday season, he's got more than a sandwich waiting for you. He's got a present. A little free dessert when you use promo code TREAT when you order your sandwich now through December 17th. Thank you so much to Ike. And I certainly hope you live in an Ike's delivery area. Nothing but delicious coming out of Ike's. Nothing but happy people coming out of the Dubliner West Portal. Let me tell you, it's one of the best bars in all of San Francisco. It's simple. It's everything a bar is supposed to be and nothing that a bar is not supposed to be. It's not full of douchebags. It's not full of a-holes. It's full of people who are normal people like you and me, who like to get together and have a beer and have a conversation, watch a little sports, my kind of folk. Thank you so much to everyone at the Dubliner for their unwavering support of the Damon Bruce Show. And thank you to our friends at Sleeper. I'd like you to use promo code Damon to sign up at Sleeper. Get a $100 deposit match on your first deposit up to $100 using promo code Damon. Clicking on the link in the description of this video, live updates, incredible odds, great payouts, and everything that you could ever want in the easiest user interface in the fastest growing fantasy app in the world. Check out Sleeper. Just download it and start noodling on it today. You're going to like what you see. Trust me on that. And as always, be responsible. Be careful out there. Make good choices, kids. Make good choices. And that would be my advice to Robert Saleh. And that's where we're going to be starting this show today. If at some point you see me get distracted, that's because right over here on Ticketmaster, I am right now the 1,883rd person in queue looking to get tickets for Fish at the Sphere. You will either see elation or devastation here quickly on your friendly host. But we'll see how long it takes me to get through this. People are like, Damon, how come you started the show a little bit late today? It's because I'm trying to get some tickets, man. That's what we're trying to do. But anyways, look, this is a game coming up against the Titans that the 49ers have no business even contemplating losing. And we will get into the fact, and look, there's nobody who weekly goes out of his way to remind you there are no easy games in football. It will not be easy to beat the Tennessee Titans, but the Tennessee Titans are as beatable as any football team as you're going to find in this league. There's a reason why only two teams had beaten the Tennessee Titans this year, and they're not good. They're not good, but on any given day, we all know on any given day, you can have a problem with the NFL team that lines up across from you. One of the things that has to happen to make sure that there is no problem is this defense executing. And I really do think that as you're putting together a game plan, as Robert Saleh puts together his game plan, it is really simple. All eyes on running back Tony Pollard, dare Cam Ward to beat you. It's just that simple. All eyes on Pollard, dare Cam Ward to beat you. Cam Ward hasn't beaten anybody this year. Our friend Leslie says, would you say this game is a must win? See, I wouldn't, because must win is, and your whole season is over if you don't. That's in my mind. You only pull out the must win when it is do or die. Here is the actual like percentages that are involved in this game. Should the 49ers win this game, they are right now 93% to go to the postseason. If they win this game, they go to 95% to go to the postseason. If they lose this game, they're at 82%. And then, my God, if the Lions do beat the Rams this week, you get to start skating on thin ice quickly. There's no room for any error. There's really... Here's the thing. The one seed is gone. Do you want a one seed? Do you want the biggest dream you could possibly have in this game? A one seed in this postseason. a one seed. If you want the one seed, you got to win this game. If you want to be taken seriously, you got to win this game. If you want me to have a level of emotional investment of what the 49ers may or may not be able to do should they reach the postseason, you win this game. Because if you lose this game, and even if you're in the postseason, it's not going to look really good. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Niners are going to win. I think they're going to win loudly, and I think they're going to win loudly because there is a very good defensive mind in Robert Saleh, and like I said, that's sort of where I want to start today's conversation. Robert Saleh, with an outstanding job done when he was the 49ers defensive coordinator first time around, earned the opportunity, the rare opportunity, to become an NFL head coach. When you get that opportunity, I understand, first time around, you get it, you got to take it, no matter how, what the situation is. You know, once bitten, though, twice shy. So Saleh earned an opportunity to become the head coach of the New York Jets. And he held that role from 2021 through the 2024 season. And despite all the Jets' struggles to establish a constant offense, Saleh immediately had them as one of the most feared defenses in all of football. During his tenure in the 2022 and 23 seasons, the Jets' defense was constantly ranked near the top of the NFL. The unit was ranked first in passing yards allowed per game and opponent yards per play during that span. His leadership, again, developed young talent, which made him perfect to bring back, because look how much young talent the 49ers are trying to work into their defense this year. He guided four players to their first 4 years of Associated Press first-team All-Pro honors. Sauce Gardner developed under him. Quinnen Williams developed under him. You know, the Jets made history in 2002 when Robert Saleh was a head coach. He had the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year. And of course, even though that is a sign that you've hired the right guy to do the job, the Jets are just so stupid. And they got rid of him. And his immense value to the defense, even though the Jets didn't realize what that was as they were dealing with it in real time, they certainly understood how much Robert Saleh meant when he left the building, because the Jets went from one of the most efficient defenses in all of football, sixth in the NFL when he left, and plummeted to the worst in the NFL without him. Not only does that prove how Robert Saleh is good at everything, but it shows you implicitly how bad the Jets are at absolutely everything, everything they do. It was ridiculous to let Robert Saleh go. How have the Jets gone since then? Are they better without him? Not at all. Not at all. Are the 49ers better for having Robert Saleh back in the room? It is an unquestionable yes. Yes, they are. He has been spectacular. And this team is playing better than its all of its statistics. This team is playing better than every single one of its measurable stats right now. They have a better record than you would assume with DVOAs and EPAs and things like that, and all the advanced metrics that say, are you really good? Are you really bad? The Niners are outperforming their own metrics on a banged up defense that has lost its two best players. We keep on talking about how Kyle Shanahan isn't even being considered for Coach of the Year. Robert Saleh and the job he's done is equally impressive, if not even more, considering the massive losses have come on his side of the football. Guess what you don't need to worry about? Robert Saleh's future. And I want to talk about the situation that he sits in right now. He got that first bite at the apple. He wants, I believe, a second bite at the head coaching apple, but he should just not take the first apple thrown at him. A lot of talk that the Raiders will be hot on Robert Saleh. They put a big offer in front of him to be their defensive coordinator once before. They're going to put a big offer in front of him to maybe be their head coach if they decide to move on from Pete Carroll. And why wouldn't they be moving on from Pete Carroll? It's not like you have a big future with Pete Carroll. As a matter of fact, you got no present with Pete Carroll. So I don't even want to hear about the future. Now, we did a show this week on what a bumbling group of losers the Raiders continue to be, even though they've eliminated all of their financial problems with the move to Las Vegas. It's actually getting worse. This is the worst Raider season of all time. is Robert, I would say, give me 7 years, $126 million. I want $18 million a year to coach the Raiders, and I want a fully guaranteed seven-year deal. And for that, I don't care if the Raiders are successful or not. You just gave me enough money to never worry about money ever again. Robert Saleh can't lose if he either takes a, I'm the third or fourth highest paid coach in this league level head coach deal, where he's got financial, just, it's raining dollars on him like Scrooge McDuck. In which case, that's good. Or even smarter, stay in a great situation. I think Jed York is going to take care of Robert Saleh as long as he's this team's defensive coordinator. If I were Robert Saleh, I would not want to go into another situation where bad ownership and historically inept just existence in football is what you have to overcome first. Huh. Waiting for the right opportunity, I think, is the way to go. Or if this is as much money as you can actually shovel into my bank account, it's hard to argue when that is presented. But I do know that there's no amount of money that makes losing every single week in football ever feel fun. I think Robert Saleh is enjoying himself right now. I think Robert Saleh is happy right now. I hope he is. He should be. He's doing an incredible job for a team that absolutely appreciates everything that he's doing. So let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. You know, let's say John Harbaugh wants to wrap things up here. Now that Baltimore job, okay. Now if Baltimore comes open, maybe. Maybe you take that Baltimore job just like sight unseen. Like that's a very good organization to attach yourself to. The right situation or an asteroid of huge dollars. That's what I would want to hit me if I were Robert Saleh. So let's get back to where we are this week with the 49ers and what they got in the Tennessee Titans. Again, only the Cardinals and Browns have lost to the Tennessee Titans. Every single game here on out for the 49ers is like its own little one-game season. You're looking at a Tennessee Titans team that just beat Cleveland. Like, how did that happen? My goodness. It's almost a good thing that that did happen, because guess what doesn't happen? Tennessee does not win back-to-back games. Tennessee has not won back-to-back games in the NFL since 2022. Oh, my God. So you better not be the team that gives up that back-to-back, especially under your circumstances. How did they beat the Cleveland Browns last week? Well, they had 184 rushing yards. So you're like, wow, they gashed Cleveland. Well, they did. Look, there's no doubt. They had a very good day against Tennessee on the ground, but it's not like they shoved it down Cleveland's throat. Tennessee did not do that. Tony Pollard had a career-high day with a 65-yard run attached to it. It came early in the game, sort of set the tone, got Tennessee to really lean into that game and play as well as it possibly could. But the Titans, again, they were very good on the ground. But their 24 rushes for 96 yards, if you take away that massive Pollard run that came early in the game, Tennessee only had 108 passing yards against Cleveland. They scored 31 points. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense when you look at the box score. How did this happen? Well, it happened because when they got into the red zone, they scored. By the way, Cleveland scored when they got into the red zone too. This game on Sunday at Levi's Stadium, it's all about what happens in the red zone. If the 49ers are successful, if they're taking their red zone opportunities and turning them into touchdowns, the Titans basically have zero shot in this game. Zero shot. The 49ers in the red zone, 62%. That is top eight in the NFL. And the Titans are in the bottom eight in the NFL when it comes to red zone defense. So that's another number that tips the 49ers' direction. There is no larger number, though, that tips in the 49ers' direction than the fact that this team, this Tennessee Titans team, has been outscored by about, 150 points, which is absurd. Absolutely absurd. The 49ers are 12.5-point favorites. That's a lot of points to give to anybody, even bad teams. I would lay off any sort of point play. I would lay off over-unders. I wouldn't be betting that. I'd be looking for props. And if you're looking for props, check out Sleeper. But I cannot in any way pretend that I'm really afraid of the Tennessee Titans. The Niners are just, oops, sorry, wrong little, there we go. That's more appropriate. That fits better. By the way, only 600 people ahead of me trying to get into this queue here now. So I got to keep my eye on what's going on over here, trying to get some tickets. Billy Bang says, I'm worried this is going to be a trap game. Everybody's picking the Niners. Everyone is cocky about it. Billy, you can't have a trap game coming out of a bye week. This does not qualify as a trap game. It doesn't. This is a bye week opponent. And we have seen Shanahan use bye week opponents to springboard into some really good football. You know, I just did a wake up with Kruger, and one of the things we both agreed on is what has been the peak of this season for the 49ers? It hasn't even happened yet. They have not peaked. You know, sometimes you can peak too early. Ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they peaked a little bit too early this season. The 49ers, hopefully, have their best group of games laying in front of them going forward, not in the rearview mirror. By the way, fewer than 500 people in front of me now in this queue. I need you to be rooting for me, everyone. I need you to be rooting for me. I mean, I got the credit card ready to go. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Cam Ward gets sacked a lot. I think that the 49ers are going to have success getting to Cam Ward. That's a big mouthful. I think that you shut down Tony Pollard. And you take your chances and dare Cam Ward to be in. I do not think he can do it. Cam Ward's been getting better over the last handful of weeks, but he's still not very good, not even close. He's improving. He was at the bottom of everything through the first 10 weeks. Since then, he has been in the middle in terms of a completion percentage. Congratulations to Cam Ward for that. But Tennessee only averages 246 yards per game. They only run for 85 yards per game. This is a game that you absolutely have to handle. They're second to last in football at 15.5 points per game. People are wondering, thank you. Hope you get those tickets. Damon, hope you get those tickets. Not sure what concert this is. Rooting for you. Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Great to have you in here. This is Fish at the Sphere. I got 113 people ahead of me here. It's getting, I'm feeling the pressure. There are very few shows I've ever hosted with a crowd that's cool enough to watch me try to get Fish tickets during the show that you're watching. So thank you. Does CMC do this weekend? More rushing yards, more receiving yards. I hope he makes a really big impact and you don't need to see much of him post third quarter. I would love to see Brian Robinson Jr. Hold on one person ahead. It's almost my time. Show paused, everybody. Show paused. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. What are you going to show me here? What are you going to show me? I accept. Switch to map. What do you got? Is the whole thing sold out? I need two tickets. Top seats. Apply filters. Go. Sold out. Yeah, I figured that was going to happen. Damn it. I knew it was going to happen. That secondary market's going to be freaking brutal. Did both kids need to go to college? Probably not. If you send one, hopefully he can pay for the other. This reminds me of having to wait in line for Secret Layers. I don't even know what that is. What's Secret Layers? Was there a band called Secret Layers? Either way. At least I got Indiana going to the college football playoffs. You're right about that. Yeah, what I have, you're now in queue, 9,400. I saw a person show me today they were the 100,000th person in line for that first show. So, yeah, it's brutal out there. Freaking bots buy all the tickets before anyone can even get at it. Don't make me go off on Ticketmaster. That's a whole other live stream. Either way, back to what, if anything, does Tennessee do well? How does Tennessee actually threaten the 49ers? Again, it's really hard to find. Here's the one thing that they're actually good at, and it's the only thing they're good at. Pass rush, their sack percentage. Their best statistical strength is the ability to pressure the quarterback. The Titans' defense ranks in the top 10 in league sack percentage. They're at like 7.39%. Jeffrey Simmons is good. He leads the team with 8 sacks. Arden Key is good. We're familiar with Arden Key. Guess who's played an awful lot in practice against Arden Key? The 49ers, who used to be a Niner. But even with all that pass rush that they get, that secondary performs just about as well as the Niners secondary with zero pass rush. Again, Tennessee has a really good pass rush. You can still throw all over them. 49ers don't have a pass rush. You can kind of still throw all over them. But that pass rush is the only thing you really need to worry about. And don't turn the ball over. And again, Tony Pollard, the only consistent bright spot on this offense. All eyes on Tony Pollard. 11 sets of eyes on Tony Pollard. Cam Ward, we invite you to try to beat us. And that's how the Niners win this game. You talk about the games that matter most this weekend. The first one was played last night. My God, the Buccaneers took about as bad as a loss as a football team can take. You know, they had a chance to get number one. Put Carolina in that rearview mirror against the Falcons team that just got Atlanta, that just got eliminated. But I tell you, division games on Thursdays means weird things happen. And you can't find a weirder loss than what Tampa Bay had. First of all, they busted out the creamsicle uniforms, which look great, but do not speak to a glorious part of their past. That is for certain. Like the second most in a game since a trashy Raider game where the Raiders had like 23 penalties in a game. 19 penalties by the Falcons. The Buccaneers defense was looking at like a third and 28. They got half that back and then allowed a fourth down before allowing the game. It just, you cannot find a worse loss anywhere in the regular season than what Tampa Bay took last night. And because of that, we got Carolina now in the driver's seat to win that division. Lions and Rams. Everybody in San Francisco is a Detroit Lions fan this weekend. We will push two buttons to let you know that we are officially reaching, now that it's the end of the year in the stretch drive, maximum. And when it comes to the Lions,
doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
Hopefully he's talking about Stafford and the Rams, because if the Lions can beat the Rams, yeah, the Lions get a little bit closer in that rearview mirror and the wild card. We all understand that. But man, you want to talk about one seeds? Woo! Go ahead. Beat the Titans. Let the Rams lose to the Lions at home. That would be a huge loss if that were to happen. Now, we got the Colts in Seattle with maybe Phillip Rivers. It's hard to bet on that happening. Is Phillip Rivers really going to play? Or are they going to save Phillip Rivers for the Niners game? My God, what a situation Indianapolis is in right now. Let me tell you another thing that's going to happen this weekend. I think the Bears are going to lose at home to the Cleveland Browns. I do. I think the Bears might lose like 3-4 in a row here. This is just a lot of Bears PTSD in me. I've been shell-shocked by this team. I know that there's a 4-5 game losing streak in every season just baked into it. Bears really haven't seen it yet. I think it's coming. I think the Bears could lose at Green Bay this weekend to Cleveland, Green Bay again, and then it's the Niners, and then they got the Lions. I could, if you told me the Bears didn't win another game this year, I would not be shocked. I wouldn't. Bills and Patriots is going to be a fun one over in the AFC too. That's a big one, Bills and Patriots. So some fun games this weekend for sure. It is handle your business time for the San Francisco 49ers, and they better damn well handle their business. Go Sharks! You see, Sharks won last night in overtime. I know one guy. Got to be very happy about that. You're rolling around in the celestial ether.
I'm in heaven. Ralph's in heaven. Go Sharks!
Good win for the Sharks last night in overtime. Warriors as healthy as an ox. Oh my gosh. The healthy Golden State Warriors. We get to say that out loud for real? My goodness. Jonathan Kuminga, Dobbert. I mean, that's the thing. No matter what happens about the Warriors, is what's Kuminga doing? Is Kuminga playing? Is Kuminga in? Is Kuminga out? Is Kuminga playing well? Is he pouting? Do his knees hurt? I'm just so sick and tired of that guy. Oh my God. But let's see what the Warriors do. They got the Minnesota Timberwolves in town. I didn't think I was going to get fish tickets. I got to tell you, I'm a little upset though. A band like this needs to have like frequent flyer mile. Like I've been seeing fish since 1998. That means I should outrank any bot trying to get into that Ticketmaster system. By the way, my nostrils, thank you so much. Let's get the plus to 50,000. We're at 49,260 right now. So we're in the neighborhood of, need about 700 more, and we will be there. I want to invite everyone to be a part of the watch party that is happening on Sunday. We will be doing a watch party between the 49ers and the Titans. We're going to have the studio built, and you'll be ready for it, and you're going to find that it's going to start later than it normally does. I'm going to set the watch time start around 2 o'clock West Coast, and I'll be coming in, sadly, from our friend Ernie's funeral. I was invited to Ernie's funeral by his mother. Ernie was a huge part of our Plus community, one of the first men in, one of the first guys in, you know, and what a sweetheart of a guy. I was so sad to learn that he had lost a battle against cancer that I didn't even know he was fighting. But our good friend Smiley Dan told me all about it. His mother then saw it. And she reached out to me, and I have to be there for Ernie because he was there for me. And loyalty is worth twice its weight in gold in my life, especially at this moment in my life. So that's why we are not going to be starting the watch party on time on Sunday. But I do hope you join me. Hopefully we're going by halftime. And yeah, Ernie was loved here in this room, and you can see it in the chat right now. What a nice guy. Seriously, what a nice, supportive, appreciative guy. When I needed it. Again, I got a lot of bravado, and it's not false bravado, but coming over to YouTube after getting laid off, yeah, I mean, dude, I was shook for a little bit. And would an audience find me? Would they follow? Would they show up? Can we do something in person? I mean, I was a part of Bay Area radio long enough to know that a Bay Area radio station showing up and doing an event didn't get a big turnout from fans really ever. What about just little old me? And that first day, Ernie was among the small handful of people that was there, and it grows and it's growing and you're all a part of it. And I thank you so very, very much. Are you ready for a little history today? It's one of those, if you need more on the Niners, man, today's wake up with me and Larry was cracking. He was down at Levi's Stadium. You go check that out. But we made a lot of great stuff, points over there. I do have to run up and see if Jillian had any, Jillian's working from home today. I'm going to look at it this way. If Jillian did get fish tickets, she would have run down here and told me. So I'm going to go up and get bad news from her. Plus, it's a big day for a little holiday shopping, little Christmas shopping here in that Bruce household. So I got to get running here today, but I thank all of you for being a part of this and supporting me. It means the world. And Ernie, we love you. Are you ready for a little history? We start with a very simple question. Do you know the way to San Jose? Happy birthday to Dionne Warwick, 85 years old today. Dionne Warwick, I had forgotten an awful lot about her, actually, but for the, what, Ego Wodum does a really funny Dionne Warwick impression sometimes on Saturday Night Live, and I just saw that, that Greatest Night in Music or whatever it is, the Netflix documentary about We Are the World. It's really good. Watch the Netflix documentary about We Are the World, and it's amazing how involved Dionne Warwick is in that. I mean, she's a huge part of that. Happy birthday to Jennifer Connelly. Oh, my God, Jennifer Connelly just riding that pony in career opportunities. That's forever burnt in my libido's mind. Thank you, Jennifer Connelly, the curvy Jennifer Connelly, the very beautiful Jennifer Connelly, the good actress Jennifer Connelly, 55 years old. And by the way, only because we talked about it, we don't do a lot of posthumous deaths, but earlier this week, we had the birthday of Sammy Davis Jr. Well, today would have been his Rat Pack brother's birthday. Frank Sinatra would have had a birthday today if he were still with us. By the way, Otis just brought up something here that I didn't know. It says, it's interesting how 95.7 KMBR are doing more outings and get-togethers now. If only they had these when Damon was on either of those stations. Yeah, imagine if they actually had people that you wanted to come out and meet, right? But thank you, Otis. I appreciate that. What I do is I think that they're copying me. I remember seeing that pick. I missed Plus Mania 1, but been to Plus Mania 2. He's been to 5. I think you've been to a couple. It's always great to see you. Always, always great to see you. Otis, my man. Sam Bruno, Mike, my man. OGs. We got a lot of OGs in here today. Got the original gangsters and the original gals. In 1901, Marconi, the Marconi Awards. Marconi sent the very first Atlantic wireless radio transmission, just 3 beeps from Cornwall, England to Newfoundland, Canada. Big day, though. Big day for Guillermo Marconi. And Marconi's name echoes throughout radio history because of that moment. Today in 1913, when the original Louvre break-in happened, we just had a recent Louvre break-in, right? This, in 1913, somebody actually got the Mona Lisa. It was recovered. The man who stole the Mona Lisa in 1913 was Vincenzo Pagura. And he was sentenced to 14 months in jail. I mean, you know, not that you ever want to go to jail, but 14 months for trying to get the. Here's the thing, though. Let's say you successfully steal the Mona Lisa. What can you do other than hang it? I mean, it's amazing that you only get 14 months for stealing the Mona Lisa, even back in 1913. But by the way, so he had it for 2 years. It was stolen in 1911, but it was recovered today in 1913. But what do? You look at it, like you can't really sell it. And the minute you sell the Mona Lisa, they know who stole it. Either way, nice try. Gotta like the effort. Hotel, Motel, Holiday Inn. You know the rest. Today in 1925, the Motel of San Luis Obispo in California, between LA and San Francisco, not like right in the middle, but it opened as the very first motel. The word motel was invented in that moment, combining the words motorist and hotel. Motel. Hotel, Motel, Holiday Inn. Again, I'm not going to finish that. Today in 1977, Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta and one of the most tour de force freaking soundtracks of all time hit theaters. To say it rocked America would be doing a disservice to the disco era and the Bee Gees. It went from disco is something that a few people are talking about in urban cities to disco is now everywhere all the time, to the point you would hate it. There is nothing that put a trend on steroids quite like the way Saturday Night Fever put disco on steroids. And by the way, it is easy to make fun of the Bee Gees and roll your eyes. The amount of great disco songs that, I mean, here's the one thing. Pick one thing, be the best at it. Dude, Saturday Night Fever, it's a monster soundtrack. It really is. There's some good songs, fun songs, beautiful songs, romantic songs on there. Don't shit on the Bee Gees. They were good. Let's see. Today in 1989, do you remember this name? Leona Hemsley? She was the queen of mean. She received a 4-year prison sentence along with 750 hours of community service because she had a $7.1 million tax lien put on her. She ran big hotels in New York, like the Waldorf Astoria, I believe, was hers, or maybe it was something else. Maybe it was the other famous hotels. But I remember that name, Leona Hemsley. She had like tattooed on angry person eyebrows. And here's a little something for you to let you know that weird political times in America are always kind of with us and around us. Nothing quite as strange as it is now. By the way, have you seen all these Epstein photos? Today in 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that all these dangling chads on ballots in Florida, still using punch hole dangling chads, they were going to quit counting those. And what do you know? George W. Bush became the president after all. Now, I'm going to say this. Not only did George W. Bush win Florida, the reason why he became president is because Al Gore didn't even carry his own home state of Tennessee. Like that's, but you can't, if you can't carry your home state, you can't be president. Al Gore couldn't even carry Tennessee. So cry me a freaking river. Dangling chads. But for this moment in time, the dangling chad had only been used by a guy named Chad to talk about his own wiener. That was the only dangling chad we had ever even considered. Not that anyone was considering it. Because guys named Chad don't get laid. You just, Chad, awful name. If your name is Chad, you have to change that today. You can't be Chad. But the dangling chad of 2000 officially came into focus in this moment in time. And that's all of our time together today. Thank you so very much. We never want to waste your time. We always want to invite you back for more, and there will be more during that watch party, which will start in-game during the 49ers-Titans game. I do hope you plan on coming by for that. In the meantime, thank you for coming by today. It means an awful lot. Have yourself a great weekend, and do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.